Good evening and welcome to Queerlicious with me, Romal. Today on Queerlicious, I have no guest. Instead, we're going to be talking about religion and homosexuality and the kind of interpretations, the kind of opinions that a lot of people who are part of religions and who have a faith kind of have about homosexuality. I'd like all of you who are listening to be a part of this particular show soon. So let's start from the very beginning and let's start from where this argument is stemming from. A lot of people within the queer community have chosen look towards atheism, look towards a complete rational way of looking at the non-existence of God and things like that. And that's generally the larger population, especially within India. But across the world and also in India, there are a lot of people who are trying to make peace between their religious beliefs and their homosexuality as an identity. So today we're trying to talk about those issues. If any of y'all are practicing Christians, Muslims, Hindus, whatever religion or whatever faith you might like to follow, or if any of y'all are very strong atheists who have an opinion on why religion should not be, should not be practiced by people who are also identify as homosexuals, then go ahead and tell me. So this is a soundboard. This is basically a place where you can come and, express any kind of opinion. Anything is fine. Nobody's personal opinions are going to be attacked here, and I would really like people to talk about it. More importantly, we've been talking about religion all day today on Q Radio, especially because there were protests recently in Chennai by a bunch of Christian organizations that were trying to prove that homosexuality is completely sinful, and that by repealing 377, India might be committing a huge sin. But one must realize that these Christian organizations, especially within India, do not represent the larger scale of Christianity, and there are a lot of people within the Christian church who do not have such strong negative opinions. To quickly take a few examples from the Wikipedia page on LGBT affirming Christian denominations, there are quite a few churches across the world that actually are pro homosexuality or pro LGBT identities. The list is quite huge. You've got in North America, you've got quite a few churches, including the Ecumenical Catholic Church, the Ecumenical Catholic Communion, the Christian Church, Evangelical Anglican Church in America, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Episcopal Church, and there's quite, that list is really huge. All you need to do is go to Wikipedia and search for LGBT affirming Christian denominations, and you'll get quite a huge list of churches that across the world have started accepting homosexual identities. When it comes to Islam, also, there are quite a few Islamic leaders who are talking about how Islam is not necessarily anti-LGBT. But we'll get into more serious discussions in a bit from now. Give me your side of this particular argument about why you think religion should be kept out of our sexual identity. On that note, let's quickly go into the song, but I'll be right back in just a bit.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Hi, and welcome back to Queerlicious. We're talking about religion and homosexuality today in light, but also keeping in mind the kind of persecution across the world that homosexuals face by fundamental religious groups. I've got Anand with me on the line right now. Hi, Anand. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Roma.
Hi, Anand. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling just leaving work. I was heading back home. I thought I'd give my sense on this particular topic.
Awesome. Okay. Are you calling in from Bangalore?
Yes, I'm in Bangalore, yes.
Okay, so Anand, you'll have to be a little bit more clearer because your voice is breaking up, but go ahead. Yeah, so tell
me.
Can
you hear me now?
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, basically the idea is, actually I was just thinking of this topic, and it was like, I'm an agnostic person. I was raised Hindu. However, from seeing the religion affect my life, I was not really into it as much. I know all the information, but I'm not into the religious aspect of it.
Okay.
But specifically with homosexuality, you understand everything that they say comes across very hypocritical. So, first of all, they talk about we doing something called a sin, right?
Okay.
At the same time, for example, Catholics will have, when they go to Mass, they eat the blood of Christ. They eat the body of Christ and blood. Can we immediately make an assumption that they are being cannibalistic? No, we cannot. That is their religious beliefs. It's not a direct explanation of how they will behave in real life. Correct? That's one thing. They're hypocritical about that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, when Muslims kill their food, they bleed it to death. Mm-hmm. Can we say for that reason that they are barbaric in their nature?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, because that is, again, a jump that we are not supposed to make as logical human beings.
Okay.
Which is, again, a hypocrisy that is being pushed forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they also make this statement that the queer people are pedophiles, or queer people will go ahead and do this and that and stuff. But they have no actual proof. Everything is based on an opinion that they seem to have, built on a preconception that they have actually not actually met any queer people.
Okay.
Which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that has been happening a lot these days is like, queer, the being queer is a foreign concept.
Okay.
Somehow we brought it up from the West. I don't know. And we decided, like, we need everything from the West, including these this particular point.
Okay.
But we completely forget to notice that we have had Jinnahs, we've had transgenders throughout history. We've had examples of it, and they don't seem to understand that at some point. We were enlightened enough to understand that we cannot always be so negative towards it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since you take, for example, Christianity, Islam, are all foreign religions.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that just because they are foreign, we should not have them as well? No, we cannot, because they are part of our culture, because they have come here, they lived here, we built our societies. We cannot be so stiff in that sense, you know?
Okay.
Also, they say being gay is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's. I don't agree with that point, but if they say being gay is a choice, okay, is it not the duty of a government? Forget about whether it's in religious institutions, about a government.
Mm-hmm.
Every citizen has a right. That's what secular means. When you say, I want a secular country, every citizen has a right. Correct? And also, if you say being gay is a choice, then being religious is a choice. But they are given equal rights.
Yes.
Is that not fundamental hypocrisy on their part? I want them basically to answer these questions. The weirdest part was when I see these shows on TV and stuff, no one actually tells them, okay, you are saying something that's going completely against the secular fundamental of India.
Okay.
And how can you ask for secular rights for your community and deny it for others? No one actually asks them directly that. They're always given a position of respect just because they're religious leaders.
True. Now, while I completely agree with you, Anand, I completely agree that a democracy should not function on the mere support of large religious communities and the rest of it, what we have to realize is democracy as a concept is you know, one of the most tarnished concepts in the world. Like, at its very basic, democracy is the simplest thing you could think of. But when you look at the democracies that exist in the world today, especially functioning democracies, almost all big democracies, and I'm not talking about small countries, I'm not talking about Scandinavian nations or Switzerland or any of those places, but huge populous countries, you know, with, say, over 10 billion people. 10 billion is too much. Okay, over a billion people. So those kind of populations, generally, almost all countries have this problem. Like, even America, the United States of America, which always claims that they're a secular nation, also have the same problem, that a lot of their laws, a lot of the way they think, a lot of whatever they do is based on extreme orthodox Christian principles. And there's a huge debate
I would give to that. You mentioned America saying that they are a secular country. You have to understand that 80% or 90% of the people do not accept it as a secular country, because the idea is that most of the people who came to America in the beginning were Irish immigrants, and then there's some Italian immigrants.
Absolutely, but also you have to realize that that's the same problem in India. While ideologically we all are very proud about being a secular nation, in reality we really aren't, because at the end
the reason why I'm saying India is different is because at some point, see, India also originally was mostly Hindu.
It still is. It's 80% Hindu, yes.
Yeah, but still, there are a lot of immigrants who came here. And we decided as human beings that it is not fair, basically, to say, okay, we're going to be completely Hindu. We decide that's not realistic, because we need to cater to every single religious minority. They have their rights. They need to be able to practice without being any persecution.
Absolutely.
So we decided as a group to decide.
Absolutely. Anand, but what you're you're completely forgetting, while, as I said, I completely agree with you, but what you're forgetting to realize is that time has passed. When India was fighting for its independence, we had a lot of idealists now who were then representing the Congress Party, which was the only party in power. And these were people who believed in ideals like secularism, blah, 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 and the rest of it, and which is why they created India to be one of the most strongest democracies, at least on paper. Okay.
Correct.
Sadly, the party has changed now, so let's not even talk about the Congress right now, because there's absolutely no point in it. But my point is, over time, sadly, fundamentalism has crept into India too. And because of the fact that Hindus represent 80% of this country, now that you have a party that stands for fundamentalism, at the end of the day, the Hindu voice cannot be ignored, which should not, it should be ignored. Technically, law should not look at religion. Technically, the parliament should not look at religion. But at the end of the day, these are idealistic notions. Across the world, huge democracies are fighting with it every single day. You know, the problem is, sadly, as much as you and I think that, okay, religion is a choice, often more than not, to a large part of this country, it isn't a choice. Like, a lot of people assume that if I'm born Hindu, then I'm Hindu and I don't have a choice about it. Similarly, if I'm born in a Christian family, I'm Christian and I don't have a choice about it. So this idea of an educated religious believer is something that is a big myth in India right now.
No, I personally...
Just hold on. We've got another caller calling in. Just hold on. Hi, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Romil. This is Aditya from Pune.
Hi, Aditya. Thank you for calling in. I've got Anand on the other line. Aditya, but quickly tell me, what is your argument concerning this topic?
So what I think is that usually people believe that to believe in God, you need to believe in a religion, and that's why the whole problem comes in.
Absolutely. Personally, I do not believe in that, but I agree. A large part of the community, a large part of the country, a large part of the world believes in that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So almost it's like... I'm gay, but I have a religion, mm-hmm. and I want to believe in God. And to believe in God, I have to follow a religion, and my religion does not allow it. So should mm-hmm. I? So it sort of almost causes a conflict within your own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends, people, if they want to be related with religion or do they want to relate themselves with God.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, actually, what Aditya said makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead. Like, Aditya, by the way, say hi to Anand. Anand, say hi to Aditya.
Hi, Anand.
Hi. Yes, Aditya, I can see the problems with you being religious and having to believe in something
mm-hmm.
about yourself, right? But you have to understand one thing. What is God to you? Forget about what the religion says. Yes, the religion is like a starting point to get information. Like, for example, if you take Hinduism, for example, there are so many mm-hmm. varied types of things we believe, including from our parents, from our grandparents, everything. But what mm-hmm. does it mean to you as a person? So what do most people do? They adapt the religion to their lifestyle of what they do, correct? So my advice to most gay people, including myself, I'm out, I'm proud, my parents know I'm gay, and they realize that religion cannot basically hold me back, or they can't hold them back. Because in
definitely.
The end, what does God preach? Think about the general definition of every God, or even agnostics or atheists. What is their idea generally? It's to be benevolent, to be for good of society. God will want that more than anything else.
Exactly.
For any religion, God will want the good of the family, the good of the people, and the interactions between the family. Because for him, if those do well, then the entire creation goes well. So if you look at the beauty of what God represents, rather than the negative of what the things that are being purported in his name, we come to an understanding that we can be what we are, but also be a religious person. That's what I think.
Yeah. For example, I identify
mm-hmm.
as a Sikh.
Awesome.
And I don't see any problems.
Absolutely, you shouldn't.
I believe in my own interpretation of religion. I believe in my own interpretation of what I think God is and how I am in the eyes of God.
I am so happy you brought that up, because, Anand, that's exactly what I was trying to get to. Like, while we're having this debate about religion and what religion means to people and faith and things like that, mm-hmm. one has to realize that across the world there is a movement among young people especially who are slowly moving away from defining themselves as religious people to people who have a faith. And that, I think, is a beautiful move. Like, for example, what you said is so so, it resonates with the exact kind of feeling that I have, which is I have taken my own religious beliefs and made it my own faith, and I do as I please and I think what is right, and I decide that for myself, which is exactly what you're doing with Sikhism, and I'm so happy that you did, because I've really never come across another Sikh who said the same thing. But I completely second you, Aditya. But going back to Anand's discussion, Anand, you were trying to make a point. Yeah.
I'm kind of lost. So the idea was basically that you were saying basically that since India is has lost that multicultural, sorry, that understanding that an ideal system should be there where every human being is treated.
You know, I'm not saying that it's lost it, but basically I'm going to make a very large statement here. A lot of people are going to beat me up for this, but I'm going to make the statement anyway. At the time of independence, when the freedom struggle was going on, a lot of the ideals that were present in the common man in India sadly have been wiped out. Like, for example, if you talk to people who are part of the independence struggle, they will talk to you about secularism. They will talk to you about how Hindu and Muslim are not different. They will talk to you about how Christians and everyone else are also Indians. But those ideas, sadly, in the last 60 years, have been non-stop attacked by fundamentalists. And these are not just Hindu fundamentalists, but Christian fundamentalists and Islamic fundamentalists.
Well,
and
I would disagree with you on that particular point, because Pakistan would not have actually formed if this was really the case. However, that's not the point I was trying to make is...
No, again, I'm sorry, Anand, I have to disagree with you. Pakistan was not formed because the masses wanted Pakistan. Pakistan was formed because a certain political party wanted it. There was no mass...
People want to live there, want to be...
Yeah, there was no mass opinion taken into consideration. It was
Agreed.
So you cannot say that, that was what people wanted. It was definitely not what people wanted.
That is true.
Yeah.
But no, my thing is more about the present context. You see, the thing is that when you go date, imagine you are a person who basically thinks negative about gay people, right?
Mm-hmm.
For you, the basic idea should be, I mean, I'm talking about as a normal Indian person, or from a religious perspective. Okay, I believe these things. However, the government is giving me certain rights to do protect my religion in peace, not be attacked for it by other religions.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, should I not, as a reasonable Indian citizen, accord that right to another minority?
So I'm still a little confused about what are you trying to tell me? So
I'm saying that the empathy is what we're missing. It's not about whether it's religious fundamental. I think it's empathy on a large scale. We basically don't empathize with our fellow man walking in the road.
But is that what you want from a democracy? Do you want empathy from a democracy, or do you want rights? That's another big argument.
See, rights come only after enough people have empathy.
See, because Anand, you have to realize that a large part of the religious community is empathizing with us, okay?
And they're not.
No, I'll tell you why. When I say empathy, I'll explain what I mean. They're looking at us and saying, for example, a large part of the Christian community, and let me just talk about them, generally say, they really don't have any other option, or, do not judge the sin, love the sinner. These kind of things are what generally across religions people have to say to people who are part of the movement, saying that, our religion is also very accepting of you, but at the same time, we're not going to accept the sin that you're doing. In Hinduism, for example, a lot of people, especially a lot of people that I know, generally have this whole thing about, Papa, he doesn't really have a choice, so what can he do about it? So My whole idea of empathy, sympathy, and it's a very thin line, and I don't think that's exactly what we want.
I like the point you brought up, that phrase, love the sin but hate, sorry, love the sinner but hate the sin.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most incorrectly used lines.
Exactly.
When they say love the person, it's all about you being identified as part of their group. Like basically they're saying, I love you because you're a Christian. I love another Christian because you're part of my Christian group. I have to love you.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't love you, then I'm going against everything that Jesus Christ prays.
Absolutely.
Love everyone. Love thy neighbor, he said. So the problem for them is they want to hate the person, but they cannot they want to hate the person because that's sin.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot because at some point it clashes with some other statement that has been made. So they make this is a compromise they use. This thing, love the sin. To me, that statement in the first place itself is an incorrect, invalid statement. They cannot make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically a complete hypocrisy, in my opinion.
Okay, Aditya, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. I'd also like to put in something new as well.
Mm-hmm.
For example, as far as I come across this situation where people want to identify to a religion as well,
mm-hmm.
it's almost this that... I am homosexual, but I want to, I still want to continue with my religious lifestyle.
Absolutely.
For example, I still want to continue the way I am as a Muslim. I still want to do, I want to have this, I still want to continue the same practices as a Hindu.
Absolutely.
And there's this great conflict that arises at that very point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also because of the fact Lok Kya Kahenge syndrome in India, as we all have.
I like how you just named it Lok Kya Kahenge syndrome, but okay.
Yeah, so it's almost about what will other people think.
Absolutely.
We let our religious identities and our spiritual identities be defined by the people around us, mm-hmm. rather than defining them for ourselves.
Which is exactly what religion should be. It should be an individual identity, exactly.
Yeah, it's gone from this sort of the way it should be self-nurturing, the way mm-hmm. a person grows spiritually. It sort of loses it down the line when we start thinking of what other people will think of us.
Absolutely.
So that's what I wanted to add.
I like what he said. It's basically like we judge based on what society is telling about
True.
Our religion, right? But one thing I can only speak in terms of Hinduism, because before I became agnostic, mm-hmm. I read a lot about Hinduism. I read about all the religions, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, one very interesting thing, especially Hinduism, considering we are a very highly high Hindu country,
mm-hmm.
is that even Krishna in his Bhagavad Gita says very clearly, do not preach to others what mm-hmm. I preach to you right now. He says very specifically, religion has to be your own personal thing. You have to, he tells Arjuna very clearly, you have to be personal in your religion. You can't go and tell your subject, okay, this is what I said, just follow it. He says very clearly, and it's ironical that all these babas and religious leaders from the Hindu community go and say, oh no, we can tell you what is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When actually he says very clearly, himself he says, do not tell others what to do. It is very clear in Bhagavad Gita. So I just thought religion is very personal,
mm-hmm.
and even Hinduism says be personal about it. Don't
exactly,
it.
And it's really sad how religion has become organized religion all across the world.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that there are a lot of people who are, you know, actually taking steps, personal steps towards creating their own faiths and saying that religion is my personal identity. It's very much part of my personal identity, and I will believe in what I want to believe. That's definitely a good thing. But I think right now, sadly, we are a minuscule minority to. Take the words off.
I think they're a majority, but actually, I would disagree with that.
No, I'm saying we're a minuscule minority.
Majority.
I'm saying we're a minority in terms of people who are actually talking and saying that, listen, I have this faith, but I don't believe in your religious ideals and your orthodoxy. Very few people
that's
actually standing
true,
up and doing that.
True, I agree.
Yeah, and I love the fact that I just use minuscule minority. Yeah.
And Romal.
Yeah.
I also see this, that it also becomes a problem when people start to take religious texts literally.
I know, that's a huge problem across religions.
They start taking religious texts literally. And
very
it's
true.
Not as if they take things literally when it comes to smoking and drinking
mm-hmm.
and premarital sex or
mm-hmm.
things like getting tattoos, but they always get offended when it comes to homosexuality, which
mm-hmm.
I just don't see the logic of.
Okay, so, Aditya, I'm so happy I have you on air right now, but I'm going to ask you, does Sikhism say anything openly against homosexuality? Does it even have an opinion on it?
No, I've read the Guru Granth Sahib mm-hmm. myself, which is the holy text.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guru Granth Sahib, I think, is a beautiful religious text because
mm-hmm.
it's all in praise of God.
Okay.
It does not say, it does not have do's and don'ts. It's
mm-hmm.
almost this book which talks about how God is in everything and how every single thing that we see around us is a creation of God, and how you should see God in everything else, and how treat other people with respect in order to get respect.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot more life lessons in it rather
okay.
than having do's and don'ts. And I have never ever come across any open statement in any of my religious texts that
mm-hmm.
says homosexuality is condemned.
Okay.
So I would disagree with any Sikh person across the world if they were to say that in the Guru Granth Sahib there is something against homosexuality.
I have never heard of that being said, but I would like to ask you, so I know there are a lot of Sikh leaders and there are a lot of people who the community looks up to. So have any of them made any homophobic statements so far?
As far as I see in my community,
mm-hmm.
A religious leader does not really make any such homophobic
mm-hmm.
comments.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I have not come across them so far.
So then generally, within a Sikh family, if someone is trying to convince you that being homosexual is wrong, what are the kind of arguments that they use?
So the sort of arguments that are used are quite typical. Because, you know, we live in this heteronormative structure where you are supposed to get married, you're supposed to have a family, and you're supposed to have kids. And being homosexual means that you are going against this order. And basically the arguments that are made in front of someone who's homosexual is that, oh, you're breaking the family, we will not have grandchildren, oh, the world has come to an end, all the drama that happens in every Indian family across India, across the world as well. So basically that is put forth, but no one says that.
What you're doing
I've
is
not heard anyone say, oh, you will burn in hell, or you will...
So y'all have it a little bit luckier than the Christians and Muslims. At least y'all don't have to have people, you know, literally flaring the Bible at you, going like, you are a sinner, you will die, you will go to hell.
Yeah. The ironic thing is, when my parents came to know, the only thing my father said was, I feel bad for you because you're going to have a difficult life. Because he realized, he's a very pragmatic man in that sense. He said, he realized that every step of the way, there will be something blocking me. You know? So my mother, being a little bit more conservative, a little bit more scripture-based, she said, she didn't even mention scripture. She just said, I wish I had, you're missing out on the chance to have a wife and children. So that's the first thing mothers go to, you know?
You should just turn around to your mom and said, but I'll have a husband and I can have children.
they don't want to discuss that. It's an alien concept. When I told her that I was gay, she said, what is that? Is it two guys being friends? Very good friends.
Wow, you know? I really wish that's what gay meant. Two guys being friends.
But that was her reaction. She's very innocent that way. Mm-hmm. So after explaining it, she was like, she felt rejected. Oh, fact that you're not going to have a wife.
Okay.
So that's still her problem. But at the end, parents, one thing is, when they love you, right, they actually will set you free. It's automatic. It's this fear we have that we will lose our parents. Because that's all we know, right? From day one, we
Absolutely.
Know our parents, you know? And then parents are scared they will lose their relatives, so they push, they pressure you. Because for parents, again, it's their family structure that has been through with them for so long. See, Indian families are larger and well-knit together.
True.
So everything in their life is their relatives. They don't realize that even though, even in the end, the child, the next generation is more important than the relatives, because the relatives are going to leave soon.
Very true.
It's going to be the child who's going to stay on.
Very well put. A very famous sociological professor from the Delhi University basically said that, you know, the problem with India is basically that while we've quickly moved towards the nuclear family, our sensibilities haven't yet. And that's something that I think is very true, because even though we are separate families now, we're still very bothered about what the relations say and what the, you know, the next round of relations say, and what, you know, our grandfathers and grandmothers and their aunts and their uncles, and everything matters to us today. And that's really sad. So while our families,
it's a strength as well. It's a
at times, yes.
And a weakness. It's a double-edged sword, basically.
When it comes to identity, I think it's always a weakness, because within big families, it's always really hard to have your unique identity. So, thank you so much.
Unless they are accepting, then you can have your unique identity.
True, that also. But you know, when people are too accepting, then often more than not, you rebel for no reason. So.
Then that's your personal problem, not the structure of the family.
Cool. Any last words, Aditya?
All I would say is that, as far as my religion, what it tells me is that I don't have to go to the Himalayas and take sannyas. I don't have to do anything. I just have to live my life and have gratitude for the things that I have around me, and to love everything that comes my way.
Awesome. That's indeed very, very, very astounding. Thank you so much for joining me, Aditya and Anand.
Thank you.
Yeah, lovely talking to you guys. Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Hi, and welcome back to Queerlicious. It's 53 minutes past 7 o'clock, and we're talking about religion today on this episode of Queerlicious. I've got Jabin right now with me on air. Jabin is calling in from Trichy. Welcome to the show, Jabin.
Hi, Romel.
Thank you so much for calling in. Tell me, Jabin.
I think this show is so important that you should not even play songs in this show.
No, but I think we need a break, because we had almost like a 45-minute discussion before this. So it's good to have a break.
It's so lovely that people are interested in this and calling in.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to, you know, register my comments about religion and my sexuality, because I have been very badly affected by this conflict in my life. life. Mm-hmm. And I have been born and brought up as a Catholic.
Okay.
And I used to go to the church regularly.
Mm-hmm.
On Sundays, I used to go to all these sort of religious classes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Chalakudi many times for their retreat.
Okay.
So until the age of, I would say, almost 24,
mm-hmm.
I was in a complete denial of my own sexuality.
Okay.
Because of, mainly because of my religion. Since mm-hmm. I was so involved with my religion and mm-hmm. Me as an identity of a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't accept myself, or, you know, at the time there was no information available like now it is, you know. We didn't have Facebook or Wikipedia or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have access to internet at the time, and so getting a proper information was so difficult, and
absolutely.
It was a very, very lonely place, because I thought myself like I was the only one guy in the world who is gay, and you know, I mean, I didn't even recognize myself as a gay, because I didn't even know the meaning at mm-hmm. the time.
Okay.
And so that has affected me very bad. As it has affected very early stages of my life very mm-hmm. badly,
mm-hmm.
You know, not to have enough confidence, or, you know, I'm doing something wrong. You know, I was always living with this sort of a guilty feeling that I'm mm-hmm. doing wrong. You know,
okay.
I'm a sinner or whatever. So this has affected very badly. And mm-hmm. now, you know, I'm a grown-up man,
mm-hmm.
and now I don't go to church, because
okay.
I don't connect myself as a Christian.
Absolutely,
I'm a Christian, non-kivas, but I don't go to church, or you know, I don't follow anything
mm-hmm.
because I feel totally disconnected from the church.
Okay,
and I think the Christianity as or the church as an institution has to embrace people of all kind,
mm.
all people of all sexuality,
yes.
all, you know, people of all colors and everyone in the world,
mm-hmm.
so that it will be a religion of acceptance as Jesus has taught us, you know.
Exactly. Mm.
So it's very unfortunate that Christianity, or at least the church,
mm.
is not ready to accept us fully. It's very glad to hear such tones from Pope Francis now mm-hmm. these days. He's okay, you know, he's saying he's ready to accept and so on. But
true.
The same way, you know, the other people were talking, you know, I can accept the sinners, but not the sin. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's the same kind of tone, but it's at least soothing to hear such words from a Pope.
Sure.
But we do, as a Christians, we do have a long way to go.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my life is a small example how things could go wrong if a religion does not accept its own person, you know.
Okay. Jabin, I would like to ask you personally, though. A lot of people within the Christian faith, especially when they have problems with the way the church is, you know, the kind of ideas that the church kind of forces down on them, often more than not, what they do, a lot like our previous two callers were talking about, is kind of create their own faith for themselves. So is that
yes.
something that you did, where you said, okay, I may not be Christian anymore, but I still follow Christian ideals, as in the ideals
yes,
that Christ
yes, taught? I do follow my Christian ideals. I
okay.
mean, I think because of all these negative things, what was going
mm-hmm.
on my mind and my life,
mm-hmm.
Now I have come to, I would say, even a better place where
okay.
I'm able to embrace other religions. I'm very fond of Buddhism. I'm very
mm-hmm.
fond of, you know, even some part of Hinduism
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Sufism and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And I'm more kind of a spiritual person than before.
Okay.
You know, I don't follow the religion in the same way I used to do,
mm-hmm.
but in a better way, in a more, you know, in a more comprehensive manner, I should say.
Okay.
So that has made me as a more spiritual person. So absolutely, I'm not saying that I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in God, and I do have my own spiritual values and things like that. But, you know, but I don't do this anymore through a medium called church.
Okay, that makes complete sense. You know, but since we have quite a few believers ever, you know, openly talking about their sexuality and their religion and their faith, you know, making peace with it, I'd like to ask you, considering the fact that you were born and brought up in a very strict Catholic family, as you had said earlier, did your Catholic upbringing help you in any way deal with your sexuality, or was it always against you? Like, and in some way, was it did it help you in any way, or did it actually,
no.
was it the biggest problem you faced?
No, not at all. I mean,
okay.
it was a big problem that
okay.
I faced.
Mm-hmm.
So not at all.
Okay. Because I also come from a Christian family, and I have just the opposite story, saying that my sexuality, actually, I came to terms with it and I made peace with it only because of the kind of religious ideals that I had in my mind. So I'm quite happy with the way I was brought up. I mean, I'm not saying that I wasn't brought up in an Orthodox...
I must say you're very lucky, Roman.
No, it's not that I wasn't brought up in an Orthodox family. I was brought up in quite a strict Orthodox Christian family. But what they did teach me to do, and maybe this is because I was brought up Protestant, I'm not too sure, but what they did teach me to do was question things that I thought was wrong. And so there were a lot, like I remember earlier on when I was a kid, I always questioned even parts of the Bible that, you know, generally any other Orthodox person would have called me a blasphemer or an heretic or whatever. But there were a lot of parts where I actually had conversations with my mother and father saying, but just this doesn't seem right, you know, this particular passage just seems weird. And so with that kind of an upbringing, it wasn't very hard for me to kind of obtain the kind of ideals I needed from my religious upbringing and put them towards my sexuality, which is why I made peace with myself so fast. So
yeah, I think it's also the way you are brought up, the family, the city that you live in. Mm-hmm. You know, many things influence your belief as well. Mm-hmm. You know, even I was at the age of 23. You know, I was living abroad. Mm. But still, I was in denial inside of me, you know. I was in denial and I was praying every night thinking that somehow I'll become a straight guy the next day morning, you know. I know it sounds stupid, but...
No, not at all. Absolutely not. Especially at someone with a strong faith.
Such a sad, dark place to be, you know.
I can imagine.
So it's... unfortunately, my religion or the church or the institution has never helped me. I mean, whatever the more tolerant Christian groups have come up in the last less than 10 years, I would say.
Absolutely.
And especially from US and other Western countries.
True. Surprisingly, again, a large number of, the Christian groups that are pro-LGBT have not yet trickled down into India, and I'm just waiting for that to happen, because a large part of Christianity in India is still very homophobic, and it's really sad. So
I think all the religious groups or all the religions in India are like that.
Yeah.
I don't see any religion who is open to it. Unfortunately, if you see Nepal, being the only Hindu country in the world, they are so advanced, they are so progressive in this issue.
True.
But being India has such a large number of Hindus.
80%, yeah.
Yeah, and it's such a huge number, and we are not progressive. A small country like Nepal can do it, and we can't do it. It's a shame.
That's exactly... The problem is we have Hindu fundamentalists in this country who are kind of screwing up...
I'm sure that Nepal too has Hindu fundamentalists.
I don't think so. You know, because when you have a country that is largely one religion, and there are very few other minority religions to even appease or even be bothered about. Also, the idea that you realize that Nepal was a monarchy for a very, very long time. They've been a democracy hardly for a few years, and their constitution is not yet in place. So you never know what's going to happen in Nepal. But right now, the place that they are in is brilliant. I must say that, they're really far ahead of their time right now. And that is very nice. And I hope India takes,
I think for India, there's a long way to go, because
we have been illegalized.
So now we have a very long way to go.
True. Okay, since I have you on air, Jabin, what would your argument be to other fundamental Christians across this country who are claiming that the religion of Christianity is against homosexuals and against homosexual love and things? What would your argument be?
I think God would have not made me in the first place as a gay if he hated me. You know, God does not make mistakes.
Very true.
So if you say that I am a mistake, you are mistaking the God.
True.
Okay. So just shut up and go do your work. I mean, if you say that I am wrong, you're saying that God is wrong. Because I see the whole thing of a religion, or the whole thing as a spirituality. I'm a strong believer that we are the reflections of God.
Absolutely.
We are the manifestation of the unmanifested.
Major.
You know, so It's only the people who judge people. It's not God who judge people.
Very true. Okay, that's a lovely, lovely way of putting it across. Thank you so much for joining me, Jabin. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye. So that was Jabin calling in all the way from Trichy, and I love having him on my show. I'm in awe of this particular person. But I would like more voices to come on this show. It's almost 50 minutes of programming left.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Hi, and welcome back to Queerlicious. We're talking about religion and homosexuality today, and I've got someone waiting to talk to me all the way from Germany. Hi, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hi, thank you, Romel.
Hi.
Yeah, do you hear me now?
You're still soft, but yeah, we can manage with this volume. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to talk about, not from a religious perspective, but maybe from a pantheist or an atheist perspective.
Okay, go ahead.
Although I've been brought up in an Orthodox family where Hindu beliefs have been taught to me.
Mm-hmm.
I personally chose to be a pantheist or an atheist.
Okay.
Whatever people have called me.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion that had been going on, if I understood, it was all of the religious groups in India are pretty homophobic and against ruling down of Krishna that was done by the Delhi High Court.
That's not the real notion right now. The problem we're having in India right now is, there are religious organizations that have also supported the queer community, but there are a huge number of religious organizations that have gone against it. Like, for example, after 377 was brought back into force, we had Catholic leaders coming out and saying that they had no problem with the community and that it was wrong to be homophobic. We had a few Muslim leaders also say it. We had a few Hindu leaders, including Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, say that. But what has happened is last Saturday we had a protest happening in Chennai where we had a group so that's exactly why we put the show together, to try and understand how religion and homosexuality can make peace with each other. So go ahead, tell me.
This was one instance, and then there was another instance like a few weeks back, maybe in Madurai, that
we had Islamic fundamentalists go around, put posters.
All I wanted to say from a pantheist view was that if religion, for example, the Abrahamic religions are the ones that strongly condemn homosexuality, and they're more homophobic if it has to be considered. In that case, what God says is, like, if homosexuality is practiced, it's going to spread. I mean, whatever they say, they claim that it is going to spread and going to destroy the humanity. It's well and good, it's fine. If that is what nature had decided, then that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, that is the pantheist perspective of what I see this as a problem for those, solution for the problems that they pose.
Okay.
So, this is my stand on it. If they consider this is going to lead to the ultimate wiping out of human race, then that has to happen. Let it happen. So they had to have the acceptance of letting this this whole evolutionary process happened if they believe that homosexuality is going to wipe out completely human race.
But you also realize that a lot of them have a problem with the idea of evolution itself, so...
They do have, in my perspective, what I say is that if they claim that they had, supporting homosexuality is going to, wipe out human race,
mm-hmm.
then some point of time it has to happen. It's not going to happen the next day. So, over the process, if it has to happen, let it happen. So, that's my stand on this. And this is what I wanted to just come to.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Where are you calling in again from? Where in Germany?
I'm Göttingen.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. You know, lovely talking to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So, that was Vinod calling all the way from Germany.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Hi, and welcome back to Queerlicious with me, Romal. It's 18 minutes past 8 o'clock, and we're talking about religion on Queerlicious today. We're talking about religion and its dealing with homosexuality. I've been reading a lot about how religions across the world are trying to explain that their religions are not against homophobia, but a lot of them also claim that they're against homosexuality, which is a very, very, a very hard difference for me to make in my head. So we are not necessarily homophobic, but we do not support homosexuals. This is something that is happening a lot across the world, especially within Islamic circles and Christian circles. I've been reading quite a few articles about very, very strong and influential Islamic leaders saying that Islam is not necessarily homophobic, but at the same time, it considers the homosexual act sinful. This is quite much like the judgment that was passed recently by the Supreme Court 377, which basically says that, we do not have have a problem with your identities, but we do consider the sexual act to be wrong. So I don't know if it's something for us to rejoice about how the law is actually representing religion, or whether religion is representing law, or whether it was a fluke, or whether it was sheer coincidence. But all that apart, I've gotten a few messages from people. Vijay Kumar writes in to say, it's strange that religious bigots, be they Hindu or bigots, be they Hindu, Muslim or Christian, are united against us. They are daggers drawn against each other. You know, surprisingly, Vijay, a lot of people have been saying this, that thankfully at least something has brought all the religions together, be it their homophobia, and that's something that we definitely need to be really worried about. I don't know if there's something to rejoice, but the fact that their united homophobia is bringing them together is definitely something that I need to be worried about, and I think all of us as a community need to be worried about. I'd like to read this really popular piece written by Mehdi Hassan, which has been creating a lot of opinion against it and for it. Mehdi Hassan is a very important and a very influential Islamic writer, and he is basically known across the world for contributing writer for the New Statesman and the political director of the Huffington Post UK, where I've taken this article from. So I'm going to quickly read through that article, and let's see what Mehdi Hassan has to say. To the season of apologies, specifically groveling apologies made by some of the finest academic brains for homophobic remarks they've made in public. The Cambridge University theologian Dr. Tim Winter, one of the UK's leading Islamic scholars, apologised on 2nd May after footage emerged showing him calling homosexuality the ultimate inversion and an inexplicable aberration. The YouTube clip is at least 15 years old and does not in any way represent my present views. We all have our youthful enthusiasms, and we all move on. The Harvard historian, Professor Neil Ferguson, apologized unreservedly on 4th May for stupid and insensitive comments in which he claimed that the economist John Maynard Keynes hadn't cared about the long run because he was gay and had no intention of having any children. Dare I add my non-academic, intellectual voice to the mix. I want to issue my own apology because I've made some pretty inappropriate comments in the past too. You may or may not be surprised to learn that as a teenager, I was one of those wannabe macho kids who crudely deployed gay as a mark of abuse. You will probably be shocked to discover that shamefully, even in my 20s, I was still making the odd, disparaging remark about homosexuality. It's now 2013 and I'm 33 years old. My own youthful enthusiasm is thankfully, if belatedly, behind me. What happened? Well, for a start, I grew up. Bigotry and demonization of difference are usually the hallmark of immature and childish minds. But if I'm honest, something else happened too. I acquired a more nuanced understanding of my Islamic faith, a better appreciation of its morals, values, and capacity for tolerance. Now, that's something that I definitely wanted to read. What happened? Well, for a start, I grew up. Before we go any further, he continues, a bit of a background. I was attacked heavily a few weeks ago by some of my co-religionists for suggesting in these pages that too many Muslims in this country have a Jewish problem and that we blithely ignore the rampant anti-Semitism in our own backyard. I hope I won't provoke the same shrieks of outrage and denial when I say that many Muslims also have a problem, if not with homosexuals, then with homosexuality. In fact, in 2009, a poll by Gallup found that British Muslims have zero tolerance towards homosexuality. None of the 500 British Muslims interviewed believed that homosexual acts were morally acceptable, The Guardian reported in May that year. Some more background. Orthodox Islam, like Orthodox interpretations of the other Abrahamic faiths, views homosexuality as a sinful and usually it views homosexuality as sinful and usually defines marriage as only ever a heterosexual union. This isn't to say that there is no debate on the subject. In April, the Washington Post profiled Dai Abdullah, who is believed to be the only publicly gay imam in the West. If you have any same-sex marriages, the Post quotes him as saying, I am available. Meanwhile, the gay Muslim scholar Scott Siraj al-Haq Kugle, who teaches Islamic studies at Emory University in the United States, says that notions such as gay or lesbian are not even mentioned in the Quran. He blames Islam's hostility towards homosexuality on a misreading of texts by ultra-conservative mullahs. And in 2011, in his 2011 book Reading the Quran, the British Muslim intellectual and writer Ziauddin Sardar argues that there is absolutely no evidence that the Prophet punished anyone for homosexuality. Sardar says the demonization of homosexuality in Muslim history is based largely on fabricated traditions and the unreconstituted prejudice harbored by most Muslim societies. He highlights verse 31 of chapter 24 of the Quran, in which we come across men who have no sexual desire, who can witness the charms of women. I must add here that Abdullah, Kugle and Sardar are in tiny minority, as are members of gay Muslim groups such as Iman. Most mainstream Muslim scholars, even self-identified progressives and moderates such as Imam Hamza Yusuf in the United States and Professor Tariq Ramadan in the UK, consider homosexuality to be a grave sin. The Quran, after all, explicitly condemns the people of Lot for approaching males, chapter 26, verse 165, and for lusting on men in preference to women, chapter 7, verse 81, and describes marriage as an institution that is gender-based and procreative. What about me? Where do I stand on this? For years, I've been reluctant to answer questions on the subject. I was afraid of the homophobe tag. I didn't want my gay friends and colleagues to look at me with horror, suspicion, or disdain. So let me be clear, yes. I'm a progressive who supports a secular society in which you do not impose your faith on others and in which the government, no matter how big or small, must always stay out of the bedroom. But I am also, to Richard Dawkins' continuing disappointment, a believing Muslim. And as a result, I do struggle with the issue of homosexuality. As a supporter of secularism, I'm willing to accept same-sex weddings in a state-sanctioned registered office on grounds of equity. As a believer in Islam, however, I insist that no mosque be forced to hold one against its wishes. If you're gay, that doesn't mean I want to discriminate against you, belittle you or bully you, abuse you or offend you. Not at all. I don't want to go back to the dark days of criminalization and the imprisonment of gay men and women of Section 28 and legalized discrimination, which is basically the Section 377 in India. I'm disgusted by the violent repression and persecution of gay people across the Muslim majority world. I cringe as I watch footage of buffoonish Mahmoud Ahmadinejad claiming in Iran, "We don't have homosexuals, we do not have this phenomenon." I feel sick to my stomach when I read of accounts of how in the late 1990s the Taliban in Afghanistan buried gay men alive and then toppled brick walls on top of them. Nor is this an issue only in the Middle East or South Asia. In March, a Muslim caller to a radio station in New York stunned the host, and I've got a caller. Hi, welcome to Querlicious. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Romal. This is Javin again.
Hi, Javin. Yeah, tell me.
Well, I just wanted to, share some information about the religion mm-hmm. in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Vinod was calling from Germany.
Yes.
Was talking about atheism and his views about it. And, religion has long been as a medium through which people can approach God,
True.
But this medium itself has killed millions and millions or even billion people in the past century.
True.
Through various conflicts around the world. You take anything from Vaishnava and Saiba conflict here in India, or you take the Crusades
mm-hmm.
in the Middle East, or what is going on right now with the terrorist group, Muslim terrorist groups and others and things like that. So in the name of religion, so much damage has been done to the humanity.
Absolutely.
And it's so sad that, it is even if we say that the world or the humankind has progressed so much in case of technology, in case mm-hmm. of intelligence, and in case of understanding the nature, the space, and we are able to send missions to Mars and things like that, but we are not able to come out of this closet called religion,
Okay.
And it's very sad that we are having troubles. Even still now, even if the humankind has evolved so much in case of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say to the people who are protesting against homosexuality in Marina Beach,
mm-hmm.
It's better they go do their work, what Jesus taught us, you know, go help the poor, mm-hmm. go help, go reconstruct the church that is crumbling, mm-hmm. crumbling behind, you know, in our feet, mm-hmm. and go see the churches in Europe, go mm-hmm. see the churches in United States, it's empty, mm-hmm. and people are, you know, it is very sad to see the people are not, don't care about things that they are supposed to care. Rather, you know, they are very much worried about homosexuals who they think that we are going to, you know, spoil their religion. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the people who are protesting in Marina Beach, you know, they are completely wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, they are wrongly motivated, and mm-hmm. that I better they spend time in a more constructive way than a destructive manner.
Completely agree with you, Jabin. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, then. Thank you.
Bye. So that was Jabin again calling in from Trichy, and let me quickly go back to that article that I was reading about. So on the other hand, you have extremist fundamentalist Muslims coming out and claiming that Islam is, you know, all about jihad, and it's all about following extremely strict Sharia code and things like that. So, you know, at the end of the day, when a majority of the people within a religion do not believe in these extremists and what they stand for, it's about time that they actually took to the media, came out and actually said what they stand for and what the religion means to them. That's definitely something that we have to think about. So stick around for that. And this is me saying goodnight.